If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2023, why are you still paying insane amounts of money every month for your phone bill? Switching to Mint Mobile is the easiest way to save this year, as the first company to sell premium wireless service online only. Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save you a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. I saw the commercials with Ryan Reynolds and I was like, I'll give it a go. My service sucks here anyways with AT&T, so I switched. It's been pretty easy over there. For people looking for extra savings this year, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month by going online only and eliminating the traditional cost of retail. Mint Mobile passes significant savings to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily in minutes with eSIM. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless service plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. That is mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/drinkingbros.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawk. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. Unfortunately, you're going to come to us after this Cardinals-Braves series wrap-up game is over. However, we are watching it on the screen as we talk to you, so we may get distracted from time to time. Although I don't have much to yell at. It'll just be, like, giggling into the microphone.
Yeah, it's been it's uncharacteristically good start for the Braves, despite their rotation being pretty banged up, right?
They've won... good starter right now.
Yeah, there's three dudes in our rotation right now that aren't, but dudes that I expect to be in the rotation who aren't in it right now. Obviously, Freed is on the 15-day DL, but they backdated that to the first. So he'll be back. Oh, that was a good play. They'll be back, or he'll be back on the 16th.
Yeah,
or 17th,
it should be the minimum.
One of those two games.
A tweak.
Yeah. Kyle Wright's still out. He'll be back soon. I think they're just looking for some reduction in his shoulder inflammation, and the same thing for Rizal Iglesias. But the bullpen has been great.
I don't even care about Iglesias. Like, you let him get as healthy as he needs to get.
Yeah, you don't need a closer for the first 2 months of the season, to be honest.
No, and our bullpen depth is more than enough.
It's been especially good there. So what's that kid's name? Nick, he's not a kid, he's fucking 32 years old, but Nick Anderson has been a very, very good reliever in the past, and he's had some trouble the past couple of years. In Tampa, he didn't pitch at all last year. Mm-hmm. Just health trouble, not pitching trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But during his stint in Tampa, his WHIP was like 0.7 the whole time. That dude's a fucking stud. I didn't even remember we signed that guy.
Which one was the other Tampa one we got? Yates?
No, I think Kirby Yates came from San Diego, didn't he?
I don't remember. We got another reliever from Tampa in the last year or two. We've just been kind of like taking the relievers they don't want anymore, but they're not like washed or anything as far as I could tell. Yeah, you're right. Yates was the Padres. Man, there was someone. Doesn't matter. There was someone else we got from the Rays last year, I thought. But regardless. Oh, was it McHugh?
Yeah, maybe. He's bounced around a lot. I think he's pitched for like five or six teams.
Who hasn't, right? I mean, if you're in the bullpen, like, that's typically the situation.
Yeah, he went from Houston to Tampa Bay, then over to us.
Okay, yeah.
That's... And he's just a reliable guy.
Yeah.
But the standout so far has been Nick Anderson in two appearances. He's given up some runs, but he's looked really sharp. Kirby Yates has looked back to his previous form. Mm-hmm. Even Jimenez got himself in a little trouble and got bailed out for it, but even he looked in the first inning he pitched pretty sharp. And then Minner and Dylan Lee looked like themselves,
right,
which is always good.
I think Chavez pitched a relatively clean inning last night.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's not given up a run yet this year. 0.6 whip. But
it's a great bullpen.
Three appearances, but Strider looked great. I think you got to think that just based on being young, because I think a lot of these other guys who were contenders for Cy Young, Sandy Alcantara is the only person I think other than Strider that can win the Cy Young this year in the National League.
Just threw a complete game shutout, I believe, last night.
In the second game of the season, which is fucking wild, man. I mean, that guy is such a stud. If he stays healthy, it's hard to bet against him, to be honest. But Strider's the only guy I would pick, because I'm not going to pick Scherzer. Just too old. I'm not going to pick Verlander for the same reason, although they could surprise you. But I don't think Verlander will get enough starts, probably.
No.
To do it.
I mean, Fried finished second in Cy Young voting last year, and I love Max Fried, and Max Fried was a great pitcher last year, but that's a week two.
It is, yeah. I think Urias probably had the better year, too.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough. As a matter of fact, I think Strider may have had the better year, frankly. or Kyle Wright, who won 21 games last year.
If you're above the age of 60, Kyle Wright was your Cy Young winner, I think, last year. 20-game winner, hard to bet again. But, I mean, I think Alcantara, really the only knock against Alcantara, and I don't consider it a knock, but I guess a lot of probably younger writers who even closer to analytics than I do would say he doesn't strike a ton of people out. He's not a bad strikeout guy, but he had five strikeouts in his complete game shutout last night.
Well, so the game is not to strike people out. It's to win ball games.
Well, I agree.
I think Kevin Costner said strikeouts are fascist, by the way.
Yes.
In Bull Durham. But we'll see. I don't know. I mean, he won it last year. They didn't seem to care last year, right?
No. I mean, again, it was a week. There was another dude who actually pitched really well who finished too far down for the Giants. He came over from the White Sox.
Oh, Rodon?
Rodon, yeah. Yeah. Carlos Rodon. Yeah.
But he's gone now, right? He's with the Yankees now.
Is he?
Yeah.
he is. Jesus Christ. Just bouncing around. It was a shallow pool. But my point with that, with the strikeouts, is that Alcantara, yes, I agree. And we grew up watching Maddux and Glavin, so I don't think we ever thought – I was never super horny for strikeouts, right? I loved watching them get grounders.
I care way more about innings pitched than strikeouts.
Yep. Agreed. And just, effort exerted during, efficiency, I guess you could say. But so I've never been strikeouts, even though it is fucking rad to watch Strider just mow motherfuckers down. But I think younger people, younger voters, people in their maybe 45 and under who vote for that stuff, the advantage Strider could have if they're relatively neck and neck, or even Alcantara's had a little bit of a better year, is that his strikeout number. I mean, he would be putting up obscene numbers.
He's going to push, if I had to guess, well, we'll see. Probably 270, give or take, if he stays healthy. I don't know that he's still kind of inefficient right now.
Still, what was it, six innings again in his first start, which is the earlier, but that was his typical line last year.
Yeah.
Six innings, 9 to 11 strikeouts, a couple walks. Mm-hmm. I saw that line and I was like, oh, he's being Spencer Strider again.
Yeah. And he, 96 pitches through six innings. That's not that bad. But you'd like to see a little bit more efficiency. I have, especially with the caliber defense that Atlanta plays, you want to see a little bit more contact there if possible. But, whatever. Don't get too hung up on that.
Because whatever works.
Just the quality of the bullpen. But he's only going to if he makes all 32 starts and averages six innings a start, he's going to get 194 or so innings pitched. But, the fucked up thing about that is at his normal strikeout rate, that is 290 plus strikeouts.
Yeah.
So he might, there's an outside shot he gets over 300, and all things being equal, as you said, if he's like a 15 to 18 game winner with a sub 4 ERA and he's got close to 300 strikeouts, hard to say no to that, right?
Yes, especially, if him and Alcantara are floating within a half point of each other in ERA, and Alcantara's probably not going to get a ton of luck in the wins department. Wouldn't be surprised if Strider is the other way and does get luck in the win department. The only thing I would like to see more out of Strider, I guess, is I don't need him to go seven, but I would like his six to be more efficient.
Yeah, he does always seem. I mean, that's a lot of that is a third time through the order situation, mm-hmm. right? Which is, that's something that almost every young pitcher deals with. It's why Ian Anderson is in the minor leagues right now, because the first two times through the order, he's typically good. He just doesn't have a third pitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Neither does Strider as of yet.
Right. Well, when you throw 100 miles per hour, it's a lot more forgiving. No, that's not true. He had three strikeouts, I think, in spring, I read, that were on his circle change.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it looked good.
Yeah. What is his change clock?
I think it was 86. Okay. 87, so something like that.
13 mile an hour difference.
It was, because it was 11 mile per hour difference. So it must have been 87 then.
Yeah, because he's 98, 99, 100.
Yeah. But yeah, it looked good. Not a terrible amount of movement on it, but the same tunnel and same arm action, which when you're having to get ramped up for 100, that's enough. You don't need the crazy movement on it.
You'll be swinging before that ball's crossing the plate.
Yeah. The guy that surprised me yesterday, Dylan Dodd, who is just some fucking, as his parents described him, a nobody from nowhere, who is just like, doesn't seem affected by the fact that he's pitching in front of 60,000 people. He doesn't care. Just like, yeah.
And by the way, he pitched for college at SEMO, Southeast Missouri. Yep. So he is, you know, probably even more acutely aware than the average person. Probably been to quite a few games at Bush. Mm. Coming up from, I think, Cape Girardeau.
There were 500 people there in the stadium watching him from his hometown.
Yeah.
Not his hometown, but people who knew him. That's what his parents said. There were about 500 people there to watch him play.
That doesn't surprise me. That's fucking crazy.
Get the gap. So his performance last night, five innings, six hits, no walks. He was a little too accurate, to be honest. I think that's something maybe they bring in Glavin, the way that we've brought in Chipper to help Riley and a couple of the younger guys with their hitting approach.
Yeah.
Bring in Glavin to teach him how to fucking pitch just outside the zone and get outs, because his slider and fastball come out of the same arm slot. They're obviously, he struck out fucking two of the best hitters in baseball, the number one and two MVPs last year, twice each last night with, once with that pitch. And it's tough, but you can't just throw strikes all the time. You know what I mean? Let me look, because I think it was like 90% strikes or something like that.
I mean, I'll take that as opposed to the other situation, which is, you know, he can't find the zone. Mm. And he was nibbling. I saw, he was putting quite a few sliders on the back foot, low and away.
72% strikes. That might be too much.
Where do you want him to live?
I want 2-1, so 67% somewhere in that range. I think 70 is a bit high, because what you don't want to be as a pitcher is predictable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So if you're playing MLB The Show, for example, you can go into the sliders and set how frequently the CPU pitcher throws strikes, and to set it to 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now you know every pitch is a strike, just crush it. There were a couple of opportunities. The second time he faced Arenado, I think, he threw that back foot slider, got a swing and miss. He wasn't even anywhere close to it. And he was perfectly set up for a fastball right up out of the zone. And he kept throwing it right at the top of the zone. Mm-hmm. And Arenado fouled it off twice, and I think eventually hit a single or something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened. But that's just, you know, building blocks. You go back and watch that tape and be like, if I had thrown that ball 4 inches higher, that would have been a strikeout and I wouldn't have gotten into that trouble in that last inning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just something to think about. He seems like a really stoic kid too. God, did he get another hit? Oh, it was a line out. Acuna is ripping the fucking cover off the ball right now. As a matter of fact, he's on pace for 260 hits.
We're
5 games in, but
I'll take that. So that was what I wanted to get your thoughts on, the first five plus games. We're about halfway through the sixth game, with the Braves up 5-0 as we record. What have you seen so far? We talked about Acuna. Yeah, Acuna looks real fucking good so far. Two outfield assists yesterday. Now, granted, you maybe could give that assist to the Cardinals' third base coach as much as anyone else.
The same with the one today that happened for Rosario.
Yeah, that Rosario threw
that was terrible. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so Acuna looks great. He looks healthy, you can tell. And the broadcast team, Frenchie and those guys have talked about it a couple of times. You can tell the difference when he's hitting low fastballs, the way he doesn't, the way his knees flex more when he goes down.
Yeah.
He's obviously quite a bit healthier this year than he was last year, so that's good.
He never looked totally right last year.
He's running good.
This is the thing that people shit on him a lot, including us, is that he doesn't take it seriously a lot of the times, a little lackadaisical, he's a kid, blah, blah, blah. He started the rally in the first inning today, legging out an infield single.
Yep.
That was fielded fairly cleanly, just kind of difficult. I was listening on the radio, so I didn't see it. But, I mean, with his legs, started a rally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Braves need leadership to win another World Series, I think. I think in 21, a lot of it came from Riley, and a lot of it came from the new guys in the clubhouse, surprisingly, right? I think it was
Jock.
Jock was one of them. Rosario on the Latino side, yeah. I guess. And then Albies was hurt, so he was kind of out of the Acuna was hurt, yeah. So he was kind of out of the mix. Albies really stepped up. I think that's what they were missing last year. I think more than anything that Albies does on the field, I think that's what they were missing from last year's run. They just didn't seem to have it together. Sometimes you just lose too.
Right.
But
normally you don't want to lose to a Phillies team that bad though.
I don't ever want to lose to any Phillies team because that entire fucking state is retarded. It's the worst state in the not the worst state in the country, but it's the dumbest state in the country. And the Phillies are going 1-161 anyway, so because they finally won a game. But yeah, Riley looks pretty good. He looks pretty locked in. Travis d'Arnaud is the hottest hitter in baseball right now. He's hitting like 500. Legit 500.
We've talked about it a lot of times in our preview. I'm certain we've said it last year a bunch, but d'Arnaud is a dude you want up in a pinch. That guy is just a professional fucking hitter. Like, he knows what he's doing. And we used to have, you know, three of those guys in the lineup with them. Freeman and Dansby and d'Arnaud. Now it's maybe just down to d'Arnaud. I mean, actually not really, because Riley is that guy too.
Yeah.
And I feel like Riley officially became that guy in the 2021 LCS with the pair of walk-offs or whatever. But yeah, Acuna looks great. Riley looks, I mean, you know, d'Arnaud's hitting great, but Riley looks like a fucking MVP so far. Two fantastic defensive plays yesterday, horrible one today, although that's more on Rosario, or not more on him.
That is on Rosario. The third baseman doesn't make that play. The shortstop or the left fielder make that play.
Yeah, someone should have called him off.
Yeah, but whatever. I mean, yeah, he's looked great defensively, which is always the case. He's kind of blockaded from a gold glove by Arenado, I think he's better. Arenado's the best defensive third baseman in baseball, and it's not even close, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got I wouldn't say he's got shortstop range, but he's got more range than anybody that's playing third base right now, plus all the other things that every other third baseman has, and maybe a little bit better.
And that's what Riley gets dinged on. Riley, to me, is just Chipper Jones with more power, essentially, and not a switch hitter. But what I mean by that is, people always said, especially the metrics, and we talked about it with Prayer, we don't like defensive metrics necessarily. People always said about Chipper, he's not that good of a defender, but I would watch him make fantastic plays.
Every play.
Every play. It was rare he fucked something up. Yeah. The bare hand charging in, always made it. So I think the only knock on Riley, and that our Arenado really kills him on, I'm sure Arenado has better hands, but I don't have any fucking problem with Austin Riley's hands. And anything hit to him, he makes.
But Arenado makes all those plays plus all the great ones too.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's probably just the range factor, to be honest, because he gets into position to field those balls where most third basemen. And that was what, Brooks Robinson had great hands, obviously, and probably the most accurate no-look throw I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how the fuck he ever made any of these plays. But just great natural instincts like that. But the thing that I think really set him apart and the reason he made all those great plays is because he was in a position to make them by having great range like that.
Yeah.
And Mike Schmidt was the same way, by the way. He doesn't get enough credit for his Now, Mike Schmidt would boot normal plays a lot, but as far as great plays went, he made a lot of those as well.
Mike Schmidt might be the most overlooked great player of all time.
He's definitely underrated. He's in the 500 home run club, and he's probably one of the top 10 defensive third basemen ever.
I think he would be if you had to make an all-time Hall of Fame team, Mike Schmidt would be the starting third baseman. I mean,
I don't know, Eddie Matthews maybe. It depends on if you're trying to go lefty or righty. Yeah. Eddie Matthews was not as good defensively as Mike Schmidt.
You're telling me if Mike Schmidt walks through that door,
you don't have a toy for Mike Schmidt? You don't have one in the back? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Schmidt struck out a lot in a time where people didn't strike out a lot.
And I think, and people probably shit on it. Yeah. If Mike Schmidt played today, people would be nutting over Mike Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, with launch angle and all that stupid shit these days, he'd probably hit 50 home runs a year. But yeah, on to the next one. The pitching has looked really good. We kind of touched on it a little bit. Bryce Elder is throwing a great game today. He's getting into the third time through the lineup here.
Bit of a jam right now.
Yeah.
Dan, what inning is this? The sixth?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the sixth inning.
Two outs.
Two runners on.
Yep.
And Arenado up. So this is the same thing that Dodd ran into last night. Pretty much the same exact scenario here. And this is the thing for young pitchers. Like, going through the first, if you have great stuff like these guys do, getting through the first two times of a lineup, not easy, obviously, but you can do that. It's the third time through the lineup that sets you apart from good to great,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So getting we'll that see. Sixth inning.
We'll see. I think that's something you're not going to find this out a lot in the very first part of the season because dudes are still kind of stretching their arms out and getting their pitches locked in, getting their release points for their breaking pitches and stuff. But so far, so good, right?
I mean, it's funny. We talked about the rotational depth all off season and in the preview show and stuff like that. And we knew it would be tested a little bit immediately because of Wright and, you know, whatever the hell the back end of our rotation was going to be. But now, and we were kind of like wondering, like, oh, who could it be? It could be Anderson, it could be Elder. I didn't even know Dodd's name, to be quite honest.
Dylan.
What?
His name's Dylan.
Dylan Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't even know who he was.
I didn't either. I didn't know he apparently he was a third round draft pick 2 years ago.
Okay, we've been drafting well, so that's good yeah. sign. But I mean the depth has been put to the test big time so far, especially since our second series is against the Cardinals, who the top two MVP vote getters last year. Even their secondary bats are fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys who can hurt you, like, he's not playing today, but Tyler O'Neill, William Contreras is in the lineup now, who is a massive upgrade over, Yadier Molina's corpse.
But not in leadership. I'm told from a lot of Cubs fans that they really are glad he's gone because he was a total clubhouse liability.
Really?
I've never heard that before, but I the last couple of days since we've been playing the Cardinals, I've just been looking. I've been seeing, because the algorithm on Twitter, especially, you search for Cardinals stuff and people start popping up.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people from the Cubs being like, thank God that dude's not here anymore.
Ooh.
And speaking of that, is that fair?
Is that foul? Yeah.
Yeah. speaking of that, Jason Heyward is raking in LA right now.
I saw that. Of course he is. By the way, if you had told me, with no other context, that in 2023, Heyward and Freeman would be on the Dodgers, I might have just killed myself.
No.
I might have just been like I can't take this anymore. The Braves are never going to win. That is hell. I fucking hate the Dodgers. Although I didn't really hate the Dodgers in 2010. They were still kind of like whatever on them. Mm. Now, by middle of this century or decade, I fucking hated them. But of course he is, and I'm sure he's still playing like elite, semi-elite defense.
Well, he's pinch hitting and late defensive replacement mostly.
Okay.
So he's in the first four games, I think he's got 9 at-bats total.
Okay.
Something like that. So they're using him pretty sparingly, and I would imagine only against right-handed pitching.
Elder just strikes out Arenado to end the inning. Wow.
That's the second time he struck him out today.
Arenado
as well.
Has not looked good this series. No, I mean, again, it's fucking April, but that was I can't believe he got him on that pitch. Like, was Nolan tired of hitting?
I don't know. I think he got – so the previous at-bat, he got fooled by a backup curveball that just hung. I mean, goddamn, if he had hit that pitch, that would have – who knows? That may not have landed yet. So maybe he just didn't track it well. But, yeah, it's it's early. I'm not too concerned about Arenado. He's going
to
get his.
Speaking of, by the way, crushing a ball back to Riley for a second, that fucking home run he hit in game one was – that was a – I don't know that I've seen a ball hit that – far in St. Louis since Albert Pujols was like prime Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fucking insane.
Yeah, the 473, I think, is what it got measured at. And he was getting made fun of a little bit yesterday because the guys asked him if that's the longest ball he's ever hit. And he said, no, I think I hit one over the center field scoreboard in AAA and was like, dude, that doesn't count. That was in the minor league. Shut the fuck up. But that's he absolutely destroyed that ball. Yeah. Next up is the rules, new rules affecting the Braves one way or another. Not yet.
Yeah.
Ronald is stealing the amount of bases I would expect for a healthy Ronald to steal. And
he hasn't even been running that much. No. I've thought.
No. And, you know, I don't know that it necessarily, we'll see, right? Well, it's got to make sense. I'm sure he's got a green light, but it's got to make sense for him to steal bases. Like when Matt Olson and Austin Riley are behind you, if you're on base, you're in scoring position, right? So how much does it help? Like with two outs? And
I believe game one, he should have been on base for that Riley bomb.
Yeah.
And he got thrown out stealing.
That happens sometimes. But in with two outs, yeah, try to get into scoring position, 100%. When you lead off the inning and you get on first, go ahead and go for it. But if there's one out, usually just kind of see what happens first.
Yeah.
Although the other side of that coin is that Riley and Olson are both prone to hitting double plays because they're both slow as shit. So,
right. You
know, do what you got to do. I don't know. I don't think it's really affected anybody so far. The Braves don't have, now that Kenley Jansen's gone, they don't have some dude with a weird delivery
right. That
fidgets a lot and talks to himself between every pitch. These guys seem to enjoy, and I think it's helping them. Like, you don't have time to sit there and think. There's a phrase in that we use when we're teaching people how to shoot. Think long, think wrong, right? You overanalyze shit. Sometimes you get paralysis by analysis or whatever, or sometimes you lose focus. What you do is subvert your natural instinct when you're doing that, right?
Right.
Like, when you teach somebody how to shoot, I say, shoot me. They're like, what do you mean? I'm just like, pretend you're shooting me. Most people do like this, right?
Yeah.
Point their finger at you. I'm like, all right, that's how you shoot a handgun. Just point your fucking index finger down the body of that weapon and track it right into the target. It's that simple. So I think speeding up may be helping everybody, not just the Braves. Pitcher-wise, I mean.
Yeah.
It does complicate holding base runners and stuff like that. And for some people that have funky deliveries, it might be fucking with them. But I think it's actually helping everybody.
Do you think there's any effect? I mean, the Braves are still a relatively young team, getting a little older, but yeah, because just the years go by, but still a relatively young team. Do you think that it's helpful in any sort of generational situation?
Well, I think a lot of these kids experienced this in the minor leagues already.
They did, yeah. So, they were talking about that actually with yesterday during the broadcast about how Dodd had already been pitching with the pitch clock.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually half the Braves rotation grew up in this environment. Spencer Strider only spent 1 year in the minor leagues, right? So
yeah,
he definitely has done most of his professional pitching with a pitch clock now that you include this year. So I don't think it's going to be an issue for most people, to be honest.
Yeah, you don't think? I mean, I guess the only other way it could affect it is if once the season really gets going, Acuna and Harris in particular just start running wild. Or an Albies, too, for that matter, I guess. Riley hits one down the line.
Fair ball.
All right.
No, he's not that slow.
He's just big. Olsen is...
He's really slow. He looks like he's running in fucking quicksand.
He's like a marionette body. But like a really strong one.
So next up, Orlando Arcia.
Is he the guy?
Maybe. And if he is, we got a pretty good deal on him. You can see from that play today, his defensive instincts are not very good. He's got the best infield arm in all of baseball, I believe. I think he's got the highest velocity of anybody in baseball throwing on the infield. But
he's been making some plays so far
pretty,
this year.
Like, historically, has been pretty wild as a thrower.
Yeah.
Maybe he's cleaned that up a little bit. He's definitely going to hit. I don't think anybody questions that. But it does seem like he's kind of coming into his own. He's in his prime right now physically. He's 28 years old. So you, if we get 2, 3, 4 years out of him at 15 to 20 home runs a year and he plays 988 plus defense, then you can't complain. I mean, you're not going to get any better than that.
Not
right?
For the money. What did they sign? 3 years, what?
$7.3 million.
Total.
Yeah, and then a fourth mutual option. Fourth club option. So they keep him for a fourth year as well. And it's only if they want to get rid of him, it's only $1 million buyout. So that's about as good as you can expect from a contract. The questions are Vaughn Grissom and Braden Shumake, are they ever going to be good enough to play for a championship caliber team, mm-hmm. right? In a reasonable amount of time. Now, there's no rush. You can leave him down there as long as you want. Braden Shumake's 25 years old,
and
though.
Grissom was double A last year.
Yeah.
Didn't he not even start in double A? Didn't he start in single A last
year? He started in A ball, yeah.
Yeah, so like...
High A, but still, yeah.
There's no... It's a bit like... Not unreasonable. Yeah, no. It's a bit unreasonable to be like, oh, fuck, dude. Grissom's not in the big leagues this year. Mm-hmm. Is he done? Like, realistically, like, if Ozzie doesn't get hurt, he never even comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, we never would have seen him.
Yeah.
If Ozzie hadn't been hurt. Yeah, it's true. So, you know... But my thinking is, the reason that you sent me that FanGraphs thing this morning, and I've read about that as well. I think O'Brien posted something about it not too long ago. But the reason it appears he got sent down wasn't because of his defense; it was because of his low exit velocity. He would be in the bottom third of the league in exit velocity.
And last year was the same way.
Yeah.
He, I think off the bat, like average was like 84 miles an hour, which is not good. And Arcia, I think, clocks in at like 92, 93, yeah. something like that.
I think league average is 85, give or take.
Okay.
So, yeah, Arcia is quite a bit above average when it comes to that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And, you know, it's you're in a win now team, right? They don't have the good fortune to be able to slot. So like if Michael Harris had come up last year and sucked, they would have sent him down.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. He just happened to be very good. So,
and Harris too.
He plays elite defense.
Right.
Defense. Both as that's a catcher insane. And a thrower, yes. right? He's got a fucking hose and he plays a premium position.
Like they expect more out of him, but like we could right now live with Harris hitting 250 and 15 to 20 home runs with the way he plays defense.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's not, and they expect a lot more than that, but like we don't need a lot out of him at the plate considering how much fucking ground he covers and all that fun shit.
Yeah, so I wonder if this will be interesting because, you know, Vaughn Grissom, let's say he's ready next year, then you got him under team control for 5 years, right? That's a long time. And that would give you him under team control with Arcia under team control for two additional seasons after this at a minimum. But Shumake looked really good in spring training. I wonder if he isn't an attractive prospect for somebody. If Arcia is still doing this, if he's still tracking like this by July, does Anthopoulos, you know, take a look at packaging him and or Shumake or both or along with Rosario or Azuna or something like that to get a legit left fielder, like an all-star caliber left fielder? Because if I'm a team in a rebuild right now and I've got an all-star caliber left fielder and I can get Vaughn Grissom for him right now plus another player that'll fucking drive in some runs and stuff like that, I'd probably do that deal because I think Vaughn Grissom is going to be really fucking good in Major League Baseball. So I would take that deal. And as a Braves fan, it would suck because we kind of got to know him a little bit and he would...
Seems like a fun dude.
Then we would fucking get to see him crush somewhere else at some point and it would probably come back to bite us 10 years from now or 5 to 10 years from now. But, you know, to shore up our last fielding position with a guy that can fucking, you know, drive in runs and...
Hopefully under some measure of control.
Yeah.
Like not just a one-year rental. Because, like we're in a position now where the window is wide fucking open.
Yeah, I mean, we would want somebody for 3 or 4 years at least, I would expect.
Right. But I mean, this is the window, right? This is the and we've already won a World Series, so now we're in the sort of the dynasty window.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've won 5 straight division titles. We have a World Series. To put that into perspective, that would put us about 1997 if this was the 90s Braves.
How'd that work out? Dynasty, right?
Yeah, it didn't work out great.
Could have been better. Still a dynasty. Could have been better. Could have been a lot better.
But yeah, I'm thinking somebody like Brian Reynolds from Pittsburgh would be a nice pickup.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hitting 500 with 4 home runs this season so far already.
Pretty chill.
But it's the Pirates, right? So they will never be able to pay him. They wouldn't, even if they had the ability to pay him, they still wouldn't do it. So
I want to say I read the other day that their owner is the only sports owner in North America that isn't a billionaire.
What does he like own? A 7-Eleven somewhere?
Yeah, basically. He's like 900 something million, but that's just embarrassing. It's just sad.
Yeah, that's dumb. So I think that he's going to be available, to be honest. And if you're just swapping out, Ozuna, and then who's still got a couple of years of probably 20 plus home runs left.
Yeah.
Along with a guy who tracks as being a fucking all-star caliber shortstop at some point, or even a third, but he might be better at third base. We'll see. I take that deal.
Is he, what's Brian Reynolds' contract situation? Is he just arbitration?
I would think so. He's 28.
He came up in 2019. So 1, 2, 3, 4. This would be his 5th year.
He signed a 2-year, $13.5 million deal.
Okay. So he's hunting for his career contract.
Yeah. And frankly, the Braves have it. They've got plenty of, if you want to call it cap space, they've got plenty of that.
Right.
Because they've got a lot of dudes locked into super team-friendly contracts. I mean, if you've got a shortstop who's, if Arcia continues the way he's playing this year, he's like a 4.5 wins above replacement guy.
Mm-hmm.
You would pay $20 million a year on the open market for that. Right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the other thing too that's funny about that is when they were signed. So there's like a meme kind of with baseball Reddit and stuff like that, where it's like the Braves can't keep getting away with this. And man, they're signing these guys to like, below market deals. And then other people are coming back and saying, well, no, this is actually like pretty market value, pretty standard market value, like, you know, especially with Harris and Riley, given their age, and they're buying out some arbitration where they could have paid way less, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing even with that is that, yeah, it's pretty fair market today, and Austin Riley's 26, but when he's 28, 29, 30, it's a fucking steal.
Yeah.
What would he be worth in those? So, like, the sooner you sign someone to a contract, the more valuable that contract becomes.
Yeah, it's 100% right. And there's I guess we'll see how A decides to handle it, but I do think there's got to be some impetus to shore up that left field spot. I mean, we'll see if
they're going to give Rosario in particular, they're going to give him a chance.
Yeah, I would think so.
And he's been good so far this year. He's, you know, I mean, hitting like 400 or, well, before today. I don't know. I think he has one base hit today, maybe.
He looks a bit lost against left-handers.
Which he really shouldn't be hitting against very much,
right.
I suppose. And we do have Hilliard, I believe, was a backup outfielder who's kind of, I think, supposed to be there 4 days against lefties. And then I think our DH swaps out between Ozuna and one of the catchers, essentially. Both catchers played last night.
Yeah. It seems like we're a little log jammed at DH. I don't think I would keep Ozuna on this roster, to be honest.
We're just like stuck with him,
yeah,
at this point, which is kind of the one sort of blemish on AA's, Alex Anthopoulos's track record so far,
yeah.
is the Ozuna signing, which, man, he got excited for his COVID year.
Yeah.
Where he just was smashed. And granted, Ozuna had a pretty good 2 years before that with the Cardinals. Looked good. Just off a fucking cliff. But hitting your wife can kind of mess with your head.
Well, she shouldn't have been standing there. Who's pitching here? Who is this guy?
Tonkin. Oh, Arcia, nice little play.
The Gulf of.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, RCA's defense to me has been fantastic so far.
It's been very good so far, yeah.
I'm all about giving him a shot too, because again, you can let Grissom marinate. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't even know Grissom's name. Like, it really was out of necessity that he came up. Harris the same way, although Harris was quite a bit more polished, and again, Harris has a there's no skill that Von Grissom has that is even remotely close to Harris's defense. Yet, you know, you hope that for Grissom. Next up, I had a question. How have you liked the Braves' new play-by-play guy so far, Brandon Godden?
He's good.
Yeah,
he's funny. Goes back and forth talking shit with Frenchie a lot. I like that. Not Chip Carey. He's not Chip.
Chip is just a cornball, and I came to like enjoy Chip's corniness, but yeah. Godden seems more. I don't know, modern sensibilities, I guess you could say. He had a thing. I missed it, but I read someone tweet about it. He was describing the bigger bases, and he was like he just made a dick joke about it, basically. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he said it's 2.8 inches bigger, which makes every man in North America jealous or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was funny, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're going to drop a casual dick joke in the broadcast, mm-hmm. I'm fucking there for it. All day.
I'm always in for dick jokes.
I'll talk about dicks. And then today he had the chicken shit thing or whatever.
Yeah.
When Riley dropped that fly ball, he's like turning chicken shit into chicken salad. He didn't say shit.
But. Hopefully he doesn't go full Tom Brenneman. Start talking shit about gay people. But
that's really the line you cross, the line you walk.
By the way, so RCA's range factor so far this year, he hasn't made any errors yet. I don't think he's made any today. But his range factor so far this year is 5.93, and Javier Baez led Major League Baseball last year with a 4.34. Now we're five games into the season,
right?
But I'm not sure that range factor is something that goes up and down. So we'll keep an eye on him. Look,
I don't know why you would suddenly like lose range necessarily.
Who knows? I mean, I think range factor is a combination of getting to the ball outside of a certain distance and then also making the play. So you have both to get the range factor part. But he's looked really good so far. I'm very comfortable with him in that position. That's gone.
That is smoked. Was anybody on base?
No. That's that young kid from Atlanta.
He's an animal. He's huge. He's like 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah, like 250.
Yeah.
Giant man.
Yeah.
Well, he's a child. He's like 22 years old.
Yeah, he is real young.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he's got some holes at the bottom of his swing. Doesn't track breaking pitches in the bottom of the zone all that well yet, but he hits. I mean, he just they hung one right there, and he fucking hit a line drive. Look at this,
boom!
That's the pitch he's not been hitting well so far, and he just hit a fucking line drive home run off of it. So
yeah, and I don't know which pitcher this is. So I think Snicker was kind of getting some guys and getting someone an inning mm-hmm. early in the season. Hopefully. And look, I want to close out this fucking series with a sweep.
Michael Tonkin. He's 33 years old.
Okay. So he's just there to
Minnesota. He's been a pretty solid reliever for Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, look. Okay, got to
actually, the last 2 years he's kind of sucked.
And again, though, like this is a veteran, I assume, who is on the back end to mm-hmm. shore things up. It's a long season. And that's what I like about the bullpen is there's not really any like glaring god-awful hole, or even someone like Luke Jackson who somehow puts up good numbers even though he like very clearly visibly sucks at his job.
Where is he now?
I don't know,
Colorado or Arizona or
actually might be the San Francisco.
Oh yeah, he did go to San Francisco because he teamed back up with Jock.
Yeah back in San Francisco, but I think he's hurt still. I think because he tore his ACL or had Tommy John surgery. I like Gotten too, though. I've liked the new. I was wondering how it was going to be because I've listened to. Chip's been there for like 15 years or something.
18.
Yeah, yep. I mean, it's been forever.
Yeah.
So he's been good so far. It hasn't been like weird. I haven't noticed anything.
Has the classic announcer voice, and I like that we had something different for all those years, and now it's just the same guy.
Yeah.
He just sounds the same as every other announcer. But He's sharp and the conversation's good and he talks a lot of shit, which I like.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. And again, like, you know what's funny? Like, watching baseball is A baseball game is almost like a podcast in a lot of ways.
Yeah, just random meandering conversation for 3 hours. Well, 2.5 hours now.
But. Yeah. Like, it really, it's not like football. It's not like even like golf, which lasts all day. Like, it really is, you know, you're sitting there and the announcers play just this huge part of it because it's background noise for half the time. Yeah. Like, you're not, I mean, me and you are probably more locked in than the average person, but even I'm not locked in, like crazy locked in the whole game or anything. I'm just kind of enjoying the convo, scrolling through my phone, dealing with one of my fucking kids, you know, whatever. So yeah, it's important to me that I don't hate the announcers, because when you watch other games on MLB TV,
there's some bad ones. Yeah.
There's some crews that are just unfucking listenable.
I mean, we grew up pretty lucky. You know, Pete Van Wieren was good. Skip was good.
Don Sutton.
Sutton was a Hall of Famer, you know what I mean, who also was good on the broadcast. And on the other side, on WGN, you had Hawk, you had Steve Stone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of the best.
Harry.
Some of the best broadcasters of all time were on all the major television stations. And now there's 30 teams, and each one of them has a guy, and there might not be 30 people that can do this well.
It's it's not quite as bad as the NFL quarterback situation, but yeah. There's definitely fewer. There's more teams than there are guys.
We can't even get good announcers in football.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like they had God, what the fuck is his name? I can never remember that dude's name. Lewis Riddick, like super smart guy. He's that bald black dude that was on Monday Night Football for a while. Super smart, knows everything about football. His analysis is great, doesn't have dumbass hot takes, but he's boring as shit.
Yep.
It's just hard to find somebody that's really good at both.
And then for some reason they have like Booger McFarland riding a motorcycle around the sideline or some shit.
He looks like he's de-evolving. He looks like one of the fucking the turtle people from the fucking Super Mario Brothers movie. Did
they get
the
shot with? Yeah, they just devolves into a thing. Man. Or like fucking in the first X-Men movie where they try to evolve the senator into
water. Yeah,
it just turns into a blob.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same way with Booger McFarlane. But yeah, I'm glad the announcing crew is good, and obviously Frenchie's great, and I can't wait for Glavin to be back in the booth this year. I guess his like parent, one of his dad was like dying or super sick or something like that.
Well, that's kind of what we talked to Ryan Spader about it last week, but that's kind of what what's his nuts has going on now. Paul Byrd, yeah,
his wife's
all fucked up.
Oh, yeah,
I think she's on the mend now, so she's probably over it now. Not over it, but she's getting back now. But he wanted to spend this year with her. Whatever, dude, do what you want.
Yeah, do you got to do? There's a job waiting for him. Looking forward. So I thought this was interesting. Because I remember telling you before this series started, I was like, man, that's such a bad draw at the beginning of the year. The fucking Cardinals, like, we start slow, our pitching's hurt, they have a good lineup, this fucking sucks. I was expecting, hoping we'd steal a game out of this series instead of being on the verge of a sweep. But last year, what we talked about when the Braves, you know, basically just shit their pants for the first 2 months was, okay, June. June is the month where we got to let it rip. If we do not come out of June with a really good record for that month, the division's probably fucked and playoffs are in question. They ripped off an insane record that June. I think it was like 20-9 or something, even better than that, maybe. Just, I mean, incredible record. Obviously, cut deeply into the Mets lead, totally changed the season. That was when Michael Harris came up, blah, blah, blah. So I thought to myself, all right, I'm going to look at the schedule again this year and see where is that month, because the other thing I was looking at was I looked at April's schedule and I was like, fuck, dude, there's a lot of it's a tough April.
Yeah,
to an extent. I mean, April we open with the Nats, obviously that's not a problem, but in April we catch the Cardinals, Padres, Reds and Royals, fine, whatever, they suck, Padres again, Astros, Marlins, who are no pushover just because of their pitching, and then the Mets. Not an easy April, especially when you're banged up, and the Braves are banged up, and they're not going to be fully healthy at the end of the month. They're not going to be at full strength, so we're going to be playing down a little bit. Now, granted, the Mets, I don't know when Verlander's coming back, so...
Yeah, I don't know either.
So that's one thing, but I was looking at the schedule again to see, all right, when is our time to rip? When is our time where it's like, this is the month where we just pass everybody? Mm-hmm. This is the month where we put it into gear, and it's kind of June again. I put June in quotes because it starts a little before June and it ends a little before June ends. But from May 29th to June 25th, Atlanta plays the A's, the D-backs, the Mets, then the Nats, Tigers, Rockies, Phillies, and Reds. Mostly shit. Like, mostly really fucking bad. So for me, why this is so huge and why I'm really, really locked into these games right now is because I feel like this is theft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're definitely getting ahead of the eight ball here.
Yeah.
Certainly. And then just the second half after the All-Star break is we'll see about the White Sox. They're hurting. They're missing. They lost probably their second best hitter to the Astros. Mm-hmm. Their best pitcher, I think, has got cancer. So, you know, fuck.
One of their other best pitchers had a sex scandal situation in the offseason. It's been tumultuous.
So we start when we come out of the All-Star break, we have Chicago and Arizona at home. That's not tough. Then at Milwaukee and at Boston.
Boston kind of stinks.
Boston sucks, and it depends on if Milwaukee, if you don't catch their fucking top two starters, that's not hard either. Then Milwaukee again after that, then the Angels, then the Cubs, then Pittsburgh. That's through the first 2 weeks of August, basically.
Okay.
So, you know, especially if we win these divisional games, if we play well against the East, it's going to be really hard for any of these teams to catch us.
Yeah.
Just because of these soft spots in the line in the schedule. Now, the Phillies are going to get what we got last year from what we've gotten the last 2 years, actually. One from the deals in 21 that AA made, and two from Harris and Strider coming up last year, or Strider going to the rotation and Harris coming up. They're going to get Bryce Harper, who's one of the best players in baseball, up probably in the early part of July, at least as a designated hitter. And not just his capability, but clubhouse leadership and intensity and excitement. They're going to get a huge fucking boost in that second half. So they may out-Braves us this year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Typically, it's us in June, July that fucking get hot and stay hot for the rest of the season. Good chance it's going to be Philly that does that this year. So I think it's a good thing that we're getting ahead a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, every game we fucking win against a good team in April and May, it's theft. It's stealing. Like, we usually float around 500, figure things out. We appear to be coming into the season a lot more locked in than we usually do. And so getting to a point where we get to the soft part of our schedule and we can really get fucking moving and get running with a record that's already, you know, 10 games over 500, something like that, that's incredible. Because I agree with you. I think the Phillies are going to be that team coming into July that is anywhere from five games under to five games over 500, easily within range of the playoffs, because like we said, there's six playoff spots and there's only eight teams competing anyway. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be nine. There'll be some surprise team. I think we didn't include the Marlins, but I could see them being a surprise team.
If the Mets continue to have these problems, I think the Marlins probably take the third spot in the National League East. That doesn't mean they'll make the playoffs, because the Dodgers and
Padres.
San Francisco is not as good as they've been, but they still have pretty good pitching, so they can still make it.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Like, they could do something. But yeah, I think the Phillies are, if you could take like a halfway through the season over under on wins for the Phillies, you could probably get pretty good odds. You might be getting good odds already if they start out, keep starting the way they're starting. But I expect the Phillies to be extremely dangerous with that top three in the rotation and the lineup. I mean, the bullpen's still a question mark, but yeah, I think they are going to be the second half team that they just turn it on, and you know,
especially because of who it is that's coming back. Like, it Schwarber is a great hitter. Castellanos is obviously a big part of their offense as well. Realmuto is a big part of their offense and their defense, but Harper is the goddamn Terminator. Like, he's one of the best clutch baseball players I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Even though in 21 down the stretch, Austin Riley severely outperformed him, and that's the reason that Philly lost and the Braves won, and still somehow Harper won the MVP. It's very bizarre to me that happened. But generally speaking, and we saw it in the fucking playoffs this past year, in the World Series and the LCS this past year, Harper is the goddamn Terminator. That dude, he lives for that shit.
And he doesn't just, like, hit a home run, like he rips your fucking soul
out. Yeah, it's like there's gravity to the big plays he makes for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's like a Reggie Jackson or Kurt Gibson kind of situation where it always happens in these fucking peak moments. And it's because he's fucking locked in, man. The kid's been thinking about those moments every day his entire life.
Well, he's been told he was going to be those moments every day for his entire life, basically. I mean, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated younger than LeBron was, I think.
He was 14, I think, yeah.
Something dumb like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's been told this for forever. I didn't even masturbate very good when I was 14. I mean, I did it, but...
Yeah, I was pretty good, but yeah, it's... He's kind of become one-dimensional. Like, he only hits.
Which, now, fine. But
it's 2023.
That's all he needs to do. And honestly, like...
Are they pinch-hitting
that O'Neal?
Tyler O'Neal
here?
Yeah,
I think so.
So he's not grounded anymore? They said he was dogging it around third. Maybe they saw... I didn't see the footage that showed him dogging it around third base.
His excuse was interesting, actually. Did you hear it? So Marmol was like that, said that, came out in the media and said the effort wasn't enough and stuff like that, which, by the way, I think is shitty of a manager to do like at all. I like the Cox Snitker situation, which is kind of keep it behind closed doors. However,
well, Bobby ran out to center field to relieve Andrew Jones one time.
True. That might be why Andrew's still not in the Hall of Fame.
It might be, yeah.
Essentially, what O'Neal said was, so I guess O'Neal is pretty fast. Like, he can run.
He plays center field, yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of like a dumb runner. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just like, run 110%, blah, 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 blah. And just goes hard. Kind of like a blindfolded bull, you know what I mean? Just fucking runs his face off, not really paying attention. And he said, for health purposes... He has been learning techniques to sort of run smarter while maintaining speed. And he said that he was kind of too in his head of staying on technique, and that caused him to round the base shitty.
Which I did see that. He rounded the base weird.
Yeah. And so he said he was kind of like, which is not good. He was thinking about how to run.
Yeah, that's never good.
Like thinking about step
over
step.
That's how the yips happen.
Right.
When you think about the mechanical thing you're doing, that's how you get the yips.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting... I didn't realize guys kind of even did that, which is learn how to run in a less, I guess, violent way.
Yeah, I guess. All assholes and elbows. I mean, that's... base running, there's a lot of injuries that happen in base running.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than any other part of the game, I would imagine.
Well, the other main thing, I guess, would be running in the outfield, right?
Well, running in the outfield is different, though, because... And that it makes more sense that he would do it for the outfield rather than for base running, because you're tracking a ball, right? So you don't want your eye level to be moving up and down a lot. That's something a lot of people have trouble with.
Yeah.
Is catching balls on the run like that. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because even in the outfield, he was just kind of.
I mean, he's built like a fucking running back.
He is.
His arms are too large.
It's
starting to become a problem. He looks like Schwarzenegger in Twins when he puts that fucking Hawaiian shirt on and just rips the biceps out of it.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like to me.
Absolutely. I think the Cardinals fans call him Tyler Swole-Neal.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking apt. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting comment on from Marmol. Although, to be quite honest, like we said earlier, their third base coach, awful send there, even worse send today.
Yeah, the one today was bad.
I mean, that... Both of those were rally-killing sends.
Yeah, and just not a very heads-up play either.
Now, it's different when Cocaine Ron does it, because I'm fine with anything Ron Washington.
Yeah, he's just all hyped up on coke, man.
Yeah.
That's the cocaine.
Yeah.
That's like Jim Leahy. That's the liquor talking. You know what I mean?
And I'm not going to get mad at a man for doing cocaine on the job.
Or being, like, I wouldn't get mad at him for being super aggressive, but, you know, and look, these things get... They happen in bunches, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Where you make bad decisions like that. It certainly happens for umpires and players where you're just off a little bit. Your timing's off. But, yeah, you gotta do better than that, honestly. And it doesn't help Marmol's case too much that it happened again in the same kind of way the day after.
That's your staff, bro. Yeah, yeah. Again, that is kind of a thing with O'Neal, too. Like, you got to put these people in a position to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I would say, in terms of action on the field in the game, the only person who has the only person who has more of an impact maybe than the third base coach is the manager.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know that the manager has as much impact as the third base coach on pitching and setting the lineup, I guess. But
and setting hit and runs, yeah. Maybe. But or and giving green lights. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, otherwise, seems to me like the third base coach has got to be, I mean, you can make some outs as a coach. That's the only – there's only two coaches in baseball, like, in, you know, in football, for example, mm-hmm. any coach on the staff can fuck something up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a line coach can give someone a bad mm-hmm. instruction mid-game or whatever, whatever. Obviously, the coordinators and the head coach can do that. But in baseball, it's really just two dudes.
Wasn't Tommy Lasorda his own third base coach for a long time?
I think he was.
Yeah, for years, I believe.
I'm surprised more dudes don't do that. I'm taking over third base play calling duties.
Yeah, I think Tommy did it just because he loved baseball.
Yeah.
And nobody could stop him.
Yeah.
I mean,
he also wanted to fuck up the Philly Fanatic. He wanted to get on the
he
field.
He did, yeah. I mean, but the Philly Fanatic would belly bump him a lot as well.
Yeah.
So I think he's, I don't know who started that feud, but it went on for about 20 years.
I
actually think it's pronounced frenetic, though, isn't it? Is
yeah.
that right, Delco?
No.
The Philly Frenetic?
He says no. I think the Philly Fanatic should have gone to Lasorda's grave and taken a picture of him, like, pissing on it or spitting on it or something. Or
banging his wife?
Yeah. Or that.
Yeah.
His dead wife, but still.
Hey, man, look. She's right next to him. Dig her up.
Probably. Might be on top of or below him. That's how they bury people sometimes. Like, married couples.
One on top of the other?
Yeah.
Like in a 69, or how does it work?
That's how, yeah, it's they're both in individual coffins, but I do hope that they 69 them, and eventually the wood will give way and
yeah.
the skeletons can
yeah.
in 69. That's all I've got for today. We're going to watch the end of this Braves Cardinals game. Hope they fucking finish sweeping them up, bringing out the brooms. As always, we're here every, we haven't nailed down a day yet. I think probably Wednesday or Friday would be the day to do this, though,
yeah.
in terms of our production schedule. But that'll be nailed down soon. We had a pre-recorded show on Drinking Bros, so we had a wide open Wednesday. But yeah, for Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. Thank you for listening to Tomahawk. And best next week.